Okay, now in Syria, protesters have faced bullets and tanks for months. They're demanding reforms and for President Bashar al-Assad to step aside. Now, for the first time, Syria's opposition movement is holding a meeting to pick leaders and plot strategy. They're gathered in neighboring Turkey, and NPR's Deborah Amos is there.
They came with differing visions of how to transform Syria. They struggled over a strategy to push the protest movement forward under the punishing force of a government determined to stop it. United, at least for this moment, by the national anthem, the conference was opened by one of the young street protesters, clearly seen as the heroes of the uprising, mostly unknown to Syria's more traditional opposition figures in exile who came here to meet them. Omar Mekdad, a 25-year-old political science graduate from the southern town of Dera, has been organizing street protests for months, sending out cell phone videos documenting the government's crackdown and speaking to the international media while on the run.
They came to my house, they broke the doors. They want to kill me there because I'm in the media.
The inventive movement stays one step ahead of the government, despite a communications blackout, a military siege, and power cuts, says Mekdad.
For example, BlackBerry. We have a glass of water and two Duracell battery. We put it for 1 hour in this glass. Then we use the USB and we put it just in the water. And that gives us about 2 hours or 3 hours charge to talk.
How did you learn that? By experimenting?
I have some knowledge in physics, how it's worked, this stuff.
Another young activist, Aziz Othman, arrived with a limp from a recent gunshot wound. He's hunted by Syrian security police, and he jokes to another participant that he's like a movie character.
He's not in the movies, it's in reality. He's the Mel Gibson of reality.
I love Mel Gibson.
Despite the bravado, the activists here agreed there's a tough road ahead to oust the regime and stop the violence. They say it will take international pressure as well as a united opposition leadership. This conference, a chaotic two-day gathering, is a first step. But there was little agreement on what comes next if President Bashar al-Assad goes. Every political group and ethnicity was represented, including the exiled Muslim Brotherhood, which sent the largest delegation. And some new faces joined the opposition, including Amr al-Azam, a Middle Eastern history professor who's worked for the Syrian government but is now turned against the regime.
I think seeing the violence, that was the rallying call, if you want, for someone like me to say, okay, enough's enough, and this is history in the making. And as a historian, I felt I wanted to be part of it.
It all seemed in doubt until the last minute, as inside activists questioned the motives of the gathering here, but finally signaled approval. The goal is to create a committee that can be the voice of the opposition to the international community as well as to Syrians. It's an important precedent, says Josh Landis, an American academic who writes an influential blog on Syria.
Many people who would like to see a change, who are fed up with this regime, they're not going to do anything until they can see a leadership emerge. And this meeting is about finding a leadership.
Many Syrians inside the country fear chaos, says Landis, if the regime is ousted.
This revolution has pointed the way to much greater Syrian unity, but we're a long way from having a unified leadership.
The opposition gathering in Turkey hopes this first meeting adds structure and leaders to a movement that emerged from the streets. Deborah Amos, NPR News, Antalya, Turkey.